Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and WNST.net. We're live in Houston at Super Bowl 51. I tried to find the most handsome man in Texas to come on the program, and
he was busy.
I came up with Matt Burke, Ravens Super Bowl champion, legend. You know, what is your title? NFL director? It's because it's changed. You've done some different things.
I have. I'm a special advisor now. How's that? Is that vague enough?
That's vague.
Yes,
very vague.
Thank you.
Just go with odd job.
Odd job.
Yeah.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Winston Wolf.
Slappy, whatever.
You solve problems.
I'm a strategist. I solve problems.
There we go.
What do you need?
Well, you know, let's start with this. I know you're here to promote some stuff, and we'll get, but let me just say this.
I'm here to talk to you. I'm here to reconnect. I'm not here to promote anything.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about?
We miss
He's speechless.
You. We miss you. And you need to enlighten me because you are smarter than me, certainly about this topic. Centers are so, so important. And if I were your agent, I would... No, I'm just being honest. It hasn't been the same without you in a lot of different ways. And it wasn't the same in Atlanta until this kid gets here, starts snapping the ball, who reminded me of you. I sat with him at Ed Block last year. He had... you know, some greater level of understanding about football as well as the ability to do it. He's changed everything. I think that the Falcons are here because they got their version of Matt Burke. And I'll let you take that
version
on.
Of Matt Burke, Alex Max, a lot better than I ever was. No, I think the center is important. I mean, that position can be, the quarterback's always going to be the leadership position. He's going to get everybody going. But
right.
The center can kind of be his lieutenant and get everybody going on the offensive line. And listen, offensive line play, it's complicated, but it's not. You know who to get and how to get them. And if you know who you're getting, then you can come off the ball. You can pass set with confidence, and the center needs to be that guy. You know, the center, I think, needs to give that whole unit confidence, knowing, hey, you know, it's going to be loud. I got to block, I got to block James Harrison. You know, I mean, all this stress.
Mm-hmm.
If I know my center is going to get us going the right way, then I can have confidence, and I'm not going to be timid. You can't play this game timid. You can't be a split second slow off the ball, and so I think that I do think a center's important. I'm not saying that because I played it, but I certainly think he can be the glue, and he can also take a lot off the quarterback's plate as well. So the quarterback doesn't have to worry about protections. He knows he's picked up, and then he can just worry about reading the coverage.
Look, I don't want to be disrespectful to Ray Lewis or Ed Reed. They'll have their day.
No, let's disrespect them.
No,
those guys
no.
are garbage, man.
No.
You heard it here.
But
Matt Burke, everyone.
We talked for years about what life would be like after Ray Lewis, what life would be like after Ed Reed.
And the sun came up, didn't it?
It did, but we haven't made the playoffs 3 out of 4 years. But I think the biggest thing no disrespect to Geno or even Jeremy Zuda, but I think things change for the O-line. Certainly Kubiak, things change. Things have changed a lot for Joe. Voices in his ears, coaching scheme, players around him. But I think he misses, more than anything, a guy like you. I think it was very obvious that changes an offense when identification isn't there. And I guess the question for you is, I met you when you were a Viking. Before you became a Raven, that day you became a Raven, you were a 10, 11 year, however long you had been in the league, you had to have been so much smarter than Geno could have possibly have been the day he starts snapping the ball, or that Matt was the day you showed up in Minnesota, that you do get smarter at doing this.
Well, I think a lot of things have changed since 2012. I mean, a lot of the pieces
sure.
have changed. I do think that, it was the Ravens were a perfect fit for me on a lot of fronts, but I think it really worked out because Joe was just going into his second year. And so, and now I don't say Joe needed help. I'm not going to say, but, you know, I was able to show up, and I think, you know, help take a little bit off Joe's plate so he could focus on other things. I mean,
right.
Joe does a tremendous job of, listen, you're a quarterback in the NFL. There's no shortage of coaching or critics or any of that. I think Joe does a great job of handling all of that. But, you know, when I was there, I was, we had a group that was there for a long time. I mean, the main pieces were there on the offensive line. You lose a guy here or there, but had guys step up, and just to have that consistency and continuity, I think really it lent itself well to not just winning, but I think in Joe's career, every year he was able to take the next step. And it's a total team game. You know, there's no LeBron James
sure.
to go out there and win the game by himself. And so
except for Tom Brady,
it just worked. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not a quarterback expert, but he's pretty good.
I'm tired of talking about him this week, every week. You know, every Super Bowl we come and it feels like we're talking about him one way or the other.
Well, you know what? I you're right. But then I look back and I say, hey, you know, winning the playoffs in 09 and 12 just makes it that much more special because nobody's been able to do it except us. And those were, I mean, other than winning the Super Bowl, I think that AFC Championship game, walking off that field and walking off the field in 09 when that game was over in the first quarter, essentially, those are, I mean, that's a hard place and a hard team to beat, and we were able to do it.
Yeah, we had fun that day. Luke and I went to that game, sat in the upper deck. It was cold.
In 09, yeah.
Ray Rice just went by and next thing you knew, he was spiking the ball in the end zone, right?
That's called starting fast.
That is.
You know, 80 yards,
is.
First play right up the gut.
Well, Matt, it's been 4 years to the day since you guys made the confetti fall in New Orleans.
Yeah, how about that?
Last NFL game for you. You know, do you miss the game? You certainly don't look like a center anymore. For anyone who's not checking it out on Facebook Live right now.
Yeah, of course.
You've shed a few pounds.
You look
pounds
like you surf, dude. I mean, look at you.
Paddleboard. All right. Can't surf. No, yeah, I miss the game. I mean, you miss being a part of that. You miss being part of a group and having an audacious goal and, you know, busting your ass every day to try to get it done. You know, game. I don't know if I miss the games more, but like when you're walking off the field after a Wednesday practice, when you know you just went toe to toe with your defense, and there's nobody out there cheering you on, and nobody cares how hard you're practicing except the guys that are out there, and you're walking off the practice field, and you're like, you know, man, that was hard. Like that was hard, but that was good work. Just kind of that satisfaction. I mean, that's what I miss. I miss the locker room. I miss the paychecks a little bit. I got a lot of kids. You know, I mean, college is expensive, but. Yeah.
I thought you Harvard guys put your money away, smart guys.
Yeah, well, I do, but then the kids find it. They just suck it out of you. But you know what? Hey, listen, I never thought I'd play 15 years. So when I look back on it, if I'm feeling the least bit, you know, like, oh, I wish I was still playing, I just remind myself, man, I got way more than I deserved. And I mean it. You know, you look at kind of, when you reflect back on your life and, you know, you make good decisions, bad decisions, you do the best you can with the information you have. I don't know how much I wanted to leave Minnesota. Like, I had it pretty good there, being from there.
You would have loved to have stayed.
There's a hamburger named after me in a bar in St. Paul. Like, that's big time.
I'm going to eat it next year.
Next year, I'll take you on the tour of the taste of St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
You just said that on camera, so now
we'll do
you're
it.
Stuck with me on like
I would
a
love to show you my city.
12-degree Tuesday night at Super Bowl week.
I have no problem doing that. But when I
this is exciting.
My point was, when I took that visit to Baltimore, first of all, I had to, like, I called up John Harbaugh, and I said, hey, I heard you guys want to bring me in for a visit, and now you're not. I said, what's the deal? What's changed? And, you know, and he said, well, I don't know if you really want to come here. I said, I want to take a visit. You know, I want to see what you got going. And I had to convince him to give me a visit. And I sat there for about 30 minutes. I don't think I've ever told it.
That's interesting.
And I would have put this in the book.
In fact, I booked my own ticket. He said it was like 6:30 at night. He goes, okay, well, tomorrow morning we'll set up your travel. I said, no. I said, I'll book a ticket. I'll be there in the morning.
No, give me the whole story. The whole story is you were interested, and they said, uh-uh, or that you're just playing us to get a better deal.
They had kind of reached out initially, and I was like, you know, can Baltimore's coming off John's first year there, AFC Championship. There's something going on there. So I was intrigued. I mean, it wasn't like I was telling my agent, hey, get me out of Minnesota.
Sure.
And
you're probably telling your agent, hey, keep me in Minnesota, probably.
Well,
right?
I said, you know, let's see what's out there. Minnesota wasn't, you know, chomping at the bit necessary to keep me. And then the Ravens backed off. So I said, I'm going to call John Harbaugh. And I called him up, and I said, you know, coach, what's the deal? You're interested, now you're not. What changed? Well, you know, we don't know if you're just using us for leverage. I said, if I get on a plane to come visit, I'm interested. And so he said, well, in the morning we'll set up flight. I said, no. I said, I'll book a ticket tonight. I'll be on the first flight tomorrow morning. I brought my wife because she's got to okay the deal. You know, she's the president.
Sure.
And I sat down with Harbaugh after a half hour talking with Harbaugh and his vision and what it meant to play for the Ravens and what the Ravens brand stood for. I remember I called my dad and I said, Dad, I said, I got to sign here. I said, I don't know how many more years I got left, and there's no guarantee of winning, but I said, I want to play for this
they
guy.
They want me.
Well, they sort of want me, but I definitely want them because, you know, as a player, I'm no superstar. I wasn't a superstar, but you only have one career.
You're a hell of a player, man.
Well,
come on.
But I was at the end, and
how
said,
many Pro
I
Bowls before he came? Six? How many? Seriously, how many were you?
Six.
Seven?
Someone's got to go. You
is
know,
that the right number? I'm so, only guessing, dude.
Six.
I don't have your wiki.
You don't have Google?
That was back when guys still kind of sort of wanted to play, right?
Where guys actually showed up.
I'm the media guy that watches the games and pays attention. So.
No, but I was just, I remember I called my, I said, Dad, I said, I got to play for this guy because if my career, if I have one more year left, I want to go out doing it this guy's way. Like, his vision for his team and how he was approaching the work was exactly how I think you should run a team. And, you know, John Harbaugh has made a huge difference in my life. I mean, even after football, you know, we talk to him, and every time I see him or talk to him, he is a special, special guy. And I'm so grateful that I had four great years in Baltimore. We won a Super Bowl. That was great. I mean, that's awesome. But playing for John and that relationship is really, really what matters.
You really did have the storybook. I mean, everyone talks about Ray. I get it. You know,
I don't.
But Ray had won one.
You're tired of blocking Ray.
You know, you played for your hometown team all those years. You make this decision, which was, you know, that was stepping outside of your comfort zone, despite how excited you were about coming to the Ravens. And then your last NFL game, you win a championship.
Yeah,
I mean, that's cool.
And I thought it was great of me not to overshadow Ray's announcement. You know, I didn't want to take any of his thunder, so I just waited to announce my retirement.
Yeah, you announced your retirement to me in the Caribou Coffee the couple days after the Super Bowl. You were in there. You're like, packing my bags, Florida, Minnesota, you were going.
The old Caribou, yeah.
And I said, hey, man, when you sit with me and talk to me about the book, you're like, do you know how many kids I have?
Your retirement press conference with the kids at the Reading Center, that was the coolest retirement announcement.
I appreciate that.
That was neat.
I appreciate that.
Well,
that was fun.
Luke was a teacher, right? You know Luke.
I was a fifth grade teacher for 5 years.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it. That was cool.
And that's the other thing, and I don't want to be canonized. Now we got the real athletes.
Back. Oh, here we go.
Real athletes.
It's a Super Bowl 47 reunion. I mean,
I guess I'm done now. Push back. Get the talent in here.
Wait, wave hello. Torrey Smith, welcome back to Baltimore. Hey. How are you?
What's going on? How you doing?
How are you? You know this guy?
Might have
seen him before.
Dude, I don't know if I've seen this guy.
Look
I mean,
at him,
all right, here's
right?
a story.
This guy.
Look at him.
I had to look at him 30 times when I was like,
hey. You kind of look like Matt Burke.
Hey.
A lot lighter.
So it's an off day one time, and I got a buddy in town, and he's the best man at my wedding. I said, we'll go to the facility together. He was like, no way, you're going to take me. I said, yeah, I'll take you to the facility. I said, but you got to act like you've been there before. Don't be asking guys. No, I wouldn't. So there's hardly anybody in there. Haloti was in there, and he was like, oh, my God, that guy's
That's
huge.
Big.
And Torrey was in there. I think you were a rookie. And Torrey is talking to his mom on the phone. You were, like, in the hot tub with him. And he says, no, mom. He says, there's we got, like, real men on this team. Like, Matt Burke, he's a real man. You know, I think what he meant was I was just old.
Yeah.
But he goes, mama, we got men on this
I'm
team.
I'm playing football with grown-ups.
Yeah, like, there's no kids anymore, man.
What's going on? How are you?
Doing good.
This
What's
is
up?
A nice little gift to me. Thank you very much. And I'll compare it to my gift last year. Last year, John Ogden was sitting with me, and Brandon Stokely sat down, and they had won together in 2001 to tell some old stories. Mm. You've been some places now since the last time we got together. Mm. This is 4 years ago today. It's the anniversary today. Neither one of you woke up knowing that this morning, right?
No clue.
I actually
didn't. I don't even know what the day is.
It was 4 years ago today that he retired.
It's February something.
February 3rd.
February 3rd.
Today
2013.
That was
a good day. That was a good day.
So, okay. So, last time you wore your ring.
I actually did an event on Saturday night where I wore it, and my kids were like, Dad, you're wearing your ring. You never wear your ring. I don't wear the ring. Do you?
Yeah. I wore it the last Super Bowl, like, heading into free agency. I'm not going to wear it now but because I'm obviously on another team, but I'll wear it when I retire.
When you look at it, what do you think of? Like, when you think, because we're here, you're seeing, I remember when Flacco was on one of these and Colin Kay, you know, when you think back 4 years, somebody says, give me your number one story. What does it mean to you, Matt?
I just think that run that we made, going to Denver, winning that game, and then going to New England and soundly, you know, beating them. And then that San Fran team was loaded. I mean, I think that really just speaks to the power of the team. And when you get guys, I mean, I don't think we weren't favored in any of those games. No. We weren't more talented than them, but we really believed that we were on a mission.
We
that there was a reason that we were all together, and we were able to accomplish it. It's special. You know,
the
that
Denver
doesn't happen
game,
every day.
Just the weather, and I know you're a hardy Minnesotan.
It's cold.
Used to be.
Man,
he's a Florida guy now. He's new.
I was in the press box, and my wife. It was so cold in the press box. We had the heat. You know, the little heat bags in our shoes. That's how cold it was in the press box.
Yeah.
I got down on the field after the game. I mean, just walking back to the car, my favorite story is Marshall Yanda being iced over.
No, that was the best part.
Yeah, his whole beard and everything. Yanda's nuts,
we were
man.
Taking the water and spraying it on our chest, and it would freeze, and the D-linemen, they put their hands on you, and they just slip right off. They were yelling at us, and it was like, hey, man, that's your problem. Yeah, you play D-line. You're dumb. You know, I can't help it.
I'll never forget that. I was looking at Yanda. I'm like, your beard's frozen. Like, he's just yelling. Ah!
Jack Nicholson's shining last scene, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that look in his eye. Absolutely.
Torrey Smith hanging out. Matt Burke. We got a Super Bowl 47 reunion, literally on the anniversary of Super Bowl 47. Glad to have you guys together. So, Torrey, what are you up to? Are you stopping by here? Running around. Yeah, you were scheduled. Matt was scheduled, and it sort of intersected, you know?
Yeah, it was perfect time. It just, came down. There's a few events that I was invited to, so I just enjoyed a couple of days and head on back to my family soon.
You know, when I wrote the book after the Super Bowl, every person mentioned the word luck. And love and luck and the relationships between the players, because you know there's going to be a 5-year next year and a 10-year. You still want to win more championships. You're done. You're washed up over. Yeah,
I was done probably 2010. Yeah. Just hanging on for dear life.
But the relationships between all of you, I think that's the thing that I've noticed 16 years out. We lost David Modell a couple weeks ago, and having the 0-1 guys all come back together under obviously a sad circumstance, but there's lots of happy circumstances when you guys that were part of that brotherhood get together.
Well, as a retired player, that's what you cherish, that's what you hold on to, and those relationships, and it's fun to come to events like this and see people. I mean, when you're still playing, you're so focused on playing, and you should be, but when you walk away, you tend to, you forget the two-a-days and all that stuff, and you remember the good times and the good guys and the moments you had. Like the time in the hot tub, and that's what you're, I mean,
that's his best Torrey Smith story.
I got a couple more, but and they're all appropriate, but not as good as that one. That, like I said, when you retire, that's what you have left, and that's what you're grateful for.
You were a little intimidated early on, I think. I mean, you're more comfortable now. You were the rookie that was getting hazed a little bit, trying to find your way, not wondering if you belonged, I think, right?
Yeah, like for me, that was the best part. I mean, I came in the lockout year, so I was.
You didn't even know
anybody. Talk about a rookie. I was part rookie.
That's tough. That's tough.
It was tough to get thrown into the fire in a good team like that. But to be honest, if I was anywhere else, I don't even know if it would have been the same because of the vets we had. You know, I was always comfortable even when I was struggling. I had guys I could lean on. Every, Ray Lewis, Burke. Like, we had veterans who just took us all in, and they never made us feel like we weren't a part of anything. So that's what made it special. Like, it wasn't abnormal to see Burke having a conversation with me about politics or life or religion, and or seeing him with the older guy doing the exact same thing. And that's why I really think we were good.
That's what's fun as an older player, when you get young guys in who are right way guys who are busting it, I remember vividly what it's like to be a rookie. You have a good day and then you'll have five bad days, and it's a roller coaster. When you see guys sticking with it and developing and contributing and starting to get it, like as an older player, that's exciting, because then you're like, it's just fun to see. It's fun to see guys like him succeed, but then that's what you need to have a good team. You got to have young guys step up, and he certainly did.
One thing I wrote about in the book, now that you're here, was your religious stance. Brendan Ivan Dejo, different. Bernard Pollard had some. There were a lot of guys.
Opinions. Weird, I don't remember that.
But that is a testament. He was praising John before you got here, just about what kind of person he is, what kind of leader he was. But putting that group of people together, it was a wide cross-section. And when you consider what's happened on your Facebook or your Twitter in the last year politically with people who don't agree, it is hard to manage that. Yeah, because we all do have strong convictions, opinions on why, including how the offense should be run, right?
That comes from John. I mean, John always tell you, let your light shine. Be who you are, but respect. And when that stuff was going on, I mean, I know I took Brendan aside and just said, hey, I disagree with you on this issue, and just so you know, I mean, this is going to be coming out, but it's not going to change us, not going to change our relationship, not going to affect the team, and we were all so focused on the mission, and we knew why we were there, and so there was I mean, it was great because we would have so much fun in the locker room. We would rip guys so hard, but there was always that respect. You know, it was never disrespectful, and that's a credit to John to manage. I mean, you got 53 alpha males in a room trying to get them to all go the same way. That's why John Harbaugh is a great coach.
Well, all from different parts of the world, all different backgrounds.
Different everything.
Everything, yeah. Guys, it's great to see you on the anniversary. Thanks for spending our anniversary together.
Man, I should have got you a gift or something.
What do you miss about Baltimore most?
I miss Vito's on York Road. I certainly miss the crab. You know, you can't go out anywhere and they say, oh, we got crab cakes today. And I ain't getting those. You know, unless I'm in Baltimore, you don't get the crab anywhere.
Well, he gets crab out in San Francisco. He was trying to turn me on to someplace out there.
Oh, crustaceans is good, man. But, you know, when I'm home,
I couldn't get a reservation. He
Jimmy's,
tried to get me last year.
It's not like Jimmy's. I'm always back.
Oh, yeah.
You got any football for these guys or no?
Last question. When the confetti fell. You know, Josh Bynes makes a tackle on the free kick, and you know that the comeback attempt has been foiled. You're champions.
Thankfully, there was not two more minutes left in the game.
I know, right? What went through your mind? Or was it such a just a blur of emotion that you don't remember?
I remember everything. You know, when it was actually over, I just remember looking at Laquan Williams. You remember, you know, we went to college.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Laquan just signed with the Arena Football League.
The Brigade,
yeah. So you know what, 2 years before that, we're in the college dorm watching the playoffs. You know what I mean? We're watching the Super Bowl. We had a Super Bowl party in my dorm. And then I'm like, we're here. Like, we did it. Like, we're going crazy. We're yelling. I'm, like, spinning in circles and watching the confetti fall. Like, you know, I'll never forget it.
Yeah, for me, it was, I mean, what I remember, I don't remember everything. It's kind of surreal.
You couldn't get to the parade, right?
I couldn't get to the parade.
Yeah, that's
crazy. But that game, you know, I remember I ran out to get my family, and they were sitting next to Connie Payton, Walter Payton's widow, and she's like, they're over there. Yeah, because it's not like you go through, okay, if we win, this is how it's going to go down.
You never talk
about that.
Sure.
So I was frantically looking for my family, and I can remember when they came out of the tunnel running, I was just like, man, this is it, you know. I was just so relieved and just so full of joy, and I got great memories. I had my son on my shoulders,
awesome,
like the whole post game, just walking around with him. He had become a Patriots fan that year.
What?
Yeah, one of our babysitters.
He got the American flag mixed up with football or something.
And so he was five, and he was telling me the Patriots were his favorite team. I remember I grabbed him, I held him up like this, and I said, "Who's your favorite team now?" And he said the Ravens.
That's awesome.
So,
that's
hey, you know what? Awesome, you're just grateful for moments like that in your life, and when you can share them with the people that you love the most. I mean, that's it.
Grateful
that's
for you guys. Grateful for our
Thanks,
friendship
brother.
Over the years.
Yes,
you know, maybe someday again you can wear purple. Maybe.
Well, it's going to be.
I'm lobbying. We need a wide receiver.
I think that's tampering.
I'll be back in March 19th for my charity game. So
that's true.
I can do purple jerseys if you want.
March 19th,
you know what I mean?
Where is it? Tell everybody where to find all that.
Say again?
Tell everybody where to find you.
Oh, well, tickets aren't going to go up until Monday. So March 19th, Rory Farms Arena.
Everybody follows you on Twitter and Facebook,
you know,
anywhere, right?
I know you guys.
We'll retweet you. We'll help you in any way we can.
Out. Matt's got to get out of here. See you later, Matt. You going to stay a few minutes?
He's out. Oh, yeah.
Tori's going to stay. All right,
bro.
Tori's
nice
going to stay.
Man.
Step into the hot seat.
The hot seat.
Matt, thanks so much, man.
Jerome coming in, too? Oh, let's get the bus. I'm ready to ride the bus. No, we're still on. Oh, Brian Billick's here, too. Brian, you want to sit down with Jerome Bettis? Who's here? I'm still live. I'm doing my thing.
Okay.
I haven't broken yet.
I don't know what's going on.
I can't take a break. Have the bus down.
How you doing, Coach?
Oh, we got to get the doctor as well. Okay. I'm going to finish up with Tori. 2 minutes with Tori.
Yeah, that sounds
Let's do
good.
That. We'll finish up with Tori.
All right.
Then we're going to have the bus come by.
Okay, Tori, how weird is it that you're waiting for, and everyone, I think it's no secret who the 49ers' next head coach
is. Yeah, not really waiting. You're waiting to talk to him.
Right. How weird has that been, though? I mean, everyone else, you know, we're into February now, and you're still waiting to officially have a new head coach in San Fran.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little weird. But, I mean, I think it's a good thing when you know you're getting someone who's a winner. Even if he doesn't win, you know that, you know, he helped lead that team in that direction. So, I'm excited for him. You know, he's a younger guy, and he's kind of paid his dues. So, see what he does.
Have you gained – and I know you appreciated playing for the Ravens and all the success you guys had, but understanding how hard it can be, and it's no secret, it's been very hard in San Fran the last couple of years. Do you appreciate even more – what you guys did, just knowing how incredibly difficult it is to do that?
It's very hard, man. I tell people, I was spoiled. You know, I come in, we're a player or two away from the Super Bowl being going back to back.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, when you go there, then we miss the playoffs the next year, and then obviously we go to the playoffs and lose the my last year there, but it's like, people don't realize how hard it is. And I think, like, even as a fan base, you're very spoiled because it's a very good organization. So to have that type of stability and then kind of, you know, see where we are now in San Francisco, like, you know what you're looking for and, like, you know what it looks like. So I'm looking forward to seeing if the new coaches can get us back on track.
I was going to ask this when Matt was here. Winning's more fun than losing. And if you play long enough, you're going to win.
Losing is stressful.
You're not definitely going to win. You're definitely going to lose. Playing football, you're going to lose at some point.
No. That's my turp, bro, right there.
Oh, who we got?
Nola Carroll. What's up, bro?
Oh.
Oh, look at this, man. Turf guy. Look at him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Back to the fridge years. Love it.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, for you with the off-season and charity work, you always said you were going to do stuff in Baltimore no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And you still are, and obviously you come back. Tell me about your events and the stuff that you do love doing and why you do.
Yeah, I mean, we started our foundation. It's really, you know, we're still going to do things in Virginia. We still do things, obviously, you know, in the Bay where I am. But it's going to always be based in Baltimore. That's home for us now. I think
that's baby. The way. Good.
Yeah, baby's doing well, man. It's a blessing, man. TJ will be 3 in April.
Okay, so I wasn't far off.
Yeah, you're not far off, and little Cam, 7 months. So.
I measure them all by Super Bowl appearances. Because I remember he was right? Like a little peanut in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Right?
And he does have the cutest kids.
That's crazy.
Ever.
Yeah, TJ has pictures with, like, Barry Sanders, the bus, Warren Sapp. Like, he's going to have a nice little get up.
You know, I had Jerome sure Bettis over here waiting to come on. And
I know, right? I felt bad.
I stopped the bus.
You definitely stopped the bus.
Once a Raven, always a Raven. He was a Steeler. Forget about him.
He'll be back.
The bus is my guy. He's a great man.
Yeah, he's absolutely a great guy. So life in San Francisco, it's one of my favorite places. I told you that last year, and I know, you know, the place that you like to eat's right in the city. You know, being out there and being a part of that, it is a different place than the East Coast.
Yeah, it's completely different. It's more diverse in a different way. I think when you say diverse and you're on the East Coast, you think black and white or maybe a little bit Hispanic. But, like, there it's like
melting pot.
Oh, it's literally everything. Like, so I think it's pretty cool to see the different cultures that are out there. And just to experience that, I've kind of only seen one thing. You know, I'm from Virginia, went to school in Maryland, and
when they say crab out there,
so
you thought they meant one thing, and then they bring that. Plant.
I knew it was a different type of crab. I'm like, y'all don't have Old Bay here, so I don't know about this.
They do.
But, I actually got excited. I found some in the grocery store. So
you're gonna ship that. we'll ship it out there in a little box for you. So you know, as far as your stuff in Baltimore and your game, tell me about your game. And you're doing it every year. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, every year it's very hard. We do it at Roy Farms Arena again, so my guy Frank taking good care of us. And to be a basketball game, of course, again, a charity basketball game, but this year we're doing a little different. We're adding a resource fair component to it. So when we had that conversation with the community during the bye week, a lot of people were talking about different resources. So we want to give some groups the opportunity to connect the dots with some of the people in the community who may need help. And help
guide them
in a
different way. Now, you came back and did a little seminar at Dunbar, right?
Yeah, at Dunbar.
I missed it. My mm-hmm. wife actually had a doctor's appointment right down the street.
Tell her I said hello.
Yeah, she did. So you were right at Dunbar, and I found out about it that morning, and I couldn't make it over there. But tell me about that day, because I didn't come and interview you. And I think Angela was going to – we were going to set up a call that week or something. It never happened. So fill me in on that.
Yeah, I mean, we went there, and we talked to him about – it was kind of like just an open forum, really, about whether it's policing or issues in the city. And it's basically, like, from our perspective, it was like, all right, like, how can we help? Like, what can we do? You know what I mean? And
give me an assignment. I'm a wide receiver. Give me a route.
Yeah, like, what are your biggest concerns? You know, it's clear there are a lot of issues in the city. And there are a lot of people who are doing great things in the city as well, but they kind of don't know how to connect the dots. Like, certain things they're complaining about, and just from being there, some people are like, oh, well, I know someone who has this program. Oh, I want to get my son into mentoring. Oh, well, this place offers this. So, like, we kind of want to be able to connect those dots. And then also, we're going to have a book fair there as well. So you got the opportunity to buy a book. Obviously, we preach the importance of reading and education. So I'm looking forward to
Have you been to the new UA house yet, the Under Armour house?
It's crazy.
I was there the day it was open.
Living Classrooms did a great job.
Really incredible thing over there. Ran into Thomas Dolby, who's doing the music side. And they have the entrepreneurial program. It's up. You know, we need more of that.
Oh, yeah, it's
sure.
Awesome. I'm telling you, like I'm saying, but it's groups like, you know, Living Classroom who are like they are doing their part to help.
Well, see,
make
Brian Billick over there.
Place.
Brian bought part of our company 5 years ago. 5% of all of our proceeds at WNSD go to Living Classrooms Foundation. So,
wow.
Yeah, so Living Classrooms is a partner of everything we do because of Brian, and it's that
awesome.
Kind of partnership that leads to the UA house. So you better believe I want to be over there and feel a little sense of pride, you know, a mile
Absolutely.
Away. Where you know,
hey, you are part of that.
Yeah, man, it's a village. I mean, every you know, we got to lift all the boats.
That's how we feel. You know, it's going
to
take everyone, and it's not going to be overnight. So as long as everyone's committed to it, you know, we'll see the change that we want to see.
Patience and a little positivity. Just
Absolutely.
A little bit.
Absolutely.
It's good to see you, my brother.
Nice seeing you, too.
All right, man.
Tori, thank
nice
you.
Jacket, by the way. Sharp.
I know. Thank you for your continued commitment to making Baltimore your home,
hey,
making
I'm,
a difference.
I'm officially yes, tampering.
We hope to have you back one day. We'll say it. You can't, but
Sit
we'll
back
see what
down.
Happens.
I'm going to hug you and beg you to come back.
All right, now. Appreciate y'all.
Tori Smith
Thanks,
joining
Tori.
Us here. We're live at Radio Row, Super Bowl 51. Continuing coverage. Anything you missed, you can find in the Buy a Toyota Audio Vault 24 hours a day from anywhere in the world. We're continuing on mixing and matching celebrities, football, jackets. I'll even bust out my cowboy hat if you're not careful, Jones. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, and WNST Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore sports.